Paul Pays, legendary announcer and returning voice of the Indianapolis 500-mile race, joins us now. Paul, welcome back, and thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here. It's good to be back under the circumstances of being back involved with the Speedway, too.
You know, when we say welcome back, it's in part to return to the 500, but in many ways it's also, again, being a prominent voice on 1070 in central Indiana, which is where you got your start 40-plus years ago. Talk about that.
Well, you could have done without the 40-plus, but yes. I joined the staff of WIBC, then WIBC/NAP, in 1970, and worked in the news department for the longest time. And then in the last year and a half of my time here, I was the guy in the helicopter until it crashed. And I retired somewhere about 50, 60 feet off the ground. I said, I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, you preceded then a legend in Big John Gillis as a traffic reporter, but then you had to follow a legend in Sid Collins on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network. Talk about the impact that Sid had on your career.
Well, Sid was my mentor. Sid was the sports director at WIBC in the 70s, and for some reason in about 1972, he started paying attention to me. The first time he did it was at I just interviewed the winner of the Soapbox Derby race. And I walked in, I thought, that's good, I did a nice job with that. And he was standing in the hallway, come here, I need to talk to you. And took me back in the large studio we had there and sat down and totally ripped apart the interview. And then, you should have done this, you should have done that. And I'm like, wow, getting that from him was not pleasant. But it was the start of him teaching me how to do his job. And so every now and then we'd just sit down or we'd go out to dinner or whatever, and we became very, very close. And then when he passed, I became, as he had indicated, I was his understudy for 2 years and then took over when he passed away.
You know, your career has taken you to be the lead announcer for the 500 on TV, as well as covering other races around the world. Through that experience, what have you learned about this race and this speedway and what it means in the sports world, period, and in the fabric of this community?
That's actually a really good question, because I worked first with the NBC network, and then when ABC went live with the Indy 500, I moved over to ABC. At both networks, at NBC, we had NBC Sports World, and at ABC, ABC Wide World of Sports, sports anthology programs that I worked on. And the good news there for me was that was all international. So I was being sent to places I would never think of going on my own. I mean, I was in the old Soviet Union down in Odessa, where they're having all the conflict in the Ukraine right now. I went all through Hungary, the Orient, you know, the whole Asian, the Pacific Rim. So I got a real treatment, a real education on the international world. And one thing impressed me and continues to impress me, because I actually was just over in Israel in the fall, is you say you're from Indianapolis and you're not going to hear anything about the Colts or the Pacers because they're national in their scope. But they will ask you about the Indianapolis 500 because of its international aspects. And that's still true today. And so realizing that that one particular event generates a world opinion is pretty significant, and they hold it in very high esteem. I think we micro-examine it, and we say, oh, well, I don't like this, I don't like that, I'm a traditionalist, what are we doing, you know? But globally, to be part of the Indy 500 is a very big deal, and to race in the Indy 500 is certainly something that every driver of any significance wants on their portfolio, if not a win.
About radio, specifically as a medium, what is it that you like about radio compared to being a TV broadcaster?
Radio is magic. Television is limited by its screen. Radio has no such limitation. In other words, I can only talk about, and it's one of the giant rules of television, when I'm doing a TV show, I can only talk about what's on the screen. Now, I can maybe allude to, while you're watching this, so-and-so's pit is being prepared, something like that. But it is bad television form to reference something that the audience can't see, because it confuses the audience. And I can tell you several times at Indianapolis where I saw crashes happening, most notably when Kevin Kogan hit the end of the of the barrier at the entrance to the pits in the early laps of the race. I saw that happen, and it seemed like an hour before it actually came up on my screen. And I'm just sitting there silent, kind of, and then it came up. Turns out it was like 2 seconds, but it seemed like forever.
You've experienced so many great things through the years at the Motor Speedway. From the 500, any one or two memories from the broadcast stand out as you come back?
Yeah, there's ones that the public knows about, and then there are other ones. Certainly, John Cock and Mears running to the finish, which I think remains, despite closer finishes, the way that the radio broadcast team covered that. And I really have to emphasize, I have the honor of being the lead announcer, but this is very much a team. You don't do this alone. And without those other guys out there and watching that race and calling especially nuances into, you know, this is happening with so-and-so, yeah, keep an eye on them. We're having all this conversation. Whenever I'm not on the air, I've got a button that puts me in communication with everybody in the track, all the other announcers, and vice versa. They can talk into my ear. And so having that team available is what really makes a difference. And, of course, when Mears and John Cock went to their finish, we anticipated that at the last pit stop. And we said, everybody get their watches out. We didn't, you know, had kind of digital watches in those days. Most of us had sweep second hands. Technology's really changed. But we didn't have the massive scoring available. So we're all clicking off laps, and we're clicking the interval. How close is Mears getting? When we realized, and you did the math, they're going to be side by side as the white flag comes out. And so we played it that way. You're going to play the lead anyway. But we played that interval. You know, there are 7 laps to go. There is a 6-second interval. And Mears has been ticking off at 7/10 every lap, that kind of thing. And that's not actual verbiage from that, but that was the approach. So that when we hit that last lap, we're all going crazy. But so is the crowd. The crowd was so crazy that's the old master control tower that we were working out of, right there where the pagoda is today. And you could hear in a way that you knew where the cars were on the racetrack simply by the screams of the crowd. And when they came off of 4 and they handed it off to me, I had my watch out because I've been doing the intervals anyway. And I wasn't sure. They hit the line, I hit the watch, and gave the race, of course, to John Cock. But I looked down and I saw the interval. It turned out that the interval I had was the interval of that finish. I'd accidentally gotten it dead on. So, but that's the favorite there.
Last topic is about sponsors. Without them, there is no coverage, right? Through the years, you've been involved with reading a copy for different kinds of advertisers, whether it was live or recorded. In your opinion, what makes a good ad, Paul, from you or from being part of the Indianapolis 500?
Well, I'm always looking at writing. So some of the other elements that go into an ad are not really my forte, though in talking about radio as magic and theater of the mind, I love what you can do with radio and the imagery that you can create. So if you're doing that with a commercial, any kind of spot, that's effective. What I like in terms of the announcing is crisp, concise, logical lines. I like to write essays. I still do it for ESPN, for example. And I had that high school teacher that we all had that had an overhead projector and said, write an essay on this and then put it up. Can't be more than one page. And then she'd rip it apart. You were so embarrassed when you left that. But you learned essay writing. That's what I like, too. I like conciseness. Quick, give me an idea, follow it up, present it properly, summarize it, and do it in the 60 seconds or the 30 seconds that you have. I think that's pretty incredible writing when you get a good one.
Agreed. Paul Page, the 2014 radio voice of the Indianapolis 500-mile race, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.